In a world where it's the year 2025, and it's an inclusive, diverse world where everyone's work is evaluated fairly, a world where differences are not merely tolerated, but celebrated, where what makes you different is your superpower, your value proposition. Today, we've heard a lot of stories of adversity, some stories of discrimination and bias, and both the media and technology industries are challenged by this lack of diversity, inclusion, and equity. So Women in Technology Hollywood are launching a bold, new, innovative approach today. We're launching an umbrella association to solve for equality by 2025 in the media, entertainment, and technology industries. So let me tell you a little story. Back in November last year, there was an election. And it was an election that some people weren't happy about. And before you think this is gonna be a rant about Republicans, it's not, hold the phone. I have many, many friends and family that are Republicans, including my father. So I really do stand for diversity, and that includes diversity of thought and diversity of opinion. So back in January, there was a women's march, and I flew to Washington with a bunch of women with pink hats, and I marched with the millions. And I noticed something really wild. There were men, many men. And I saw how the women's march galvanized more than just women. It galvanized the Black Lives Matter group, the LGBT group, the climate change scientists, immigrants, Muslims, the Right to Choose movement. It was the biggest march of all time, with millions marching all around the world. The women's march united all these little islands, these silos. And it became its own form of a United Nations, an umbrella organization, in a sense of people defending their right to be free to express who they are, free from discrimination, bias, and harassment. Our Solve for Equality by 2025 initiative aims to do the same for the two industries of Hollywood and technology. Now, you might say, by the end of 2025, Nadia, that's only 8 years. Can we really eliminate racism and sexism and ageism and discrimination against people with disabilities and people who are neurodiverse that might have ADHD or autism or Asperger's? How do we do that in just 8 years, Nadia? Well, let me tell you. So if you remember, at the start of the Obama administration, the conversation for gay marriage was not happening. Even Obama was against it. Cut to 8 years later, and the laws that recognize same-sex marriage were passed at the federal level. And how was this done? Did our lawmakers suddenly have an epiphany about gay marriage? No, they listened to the will of the people. And the will of the people said that, oh, that show Will and Grace, that show Modern Family, that show Transparent, yeah, those people are okay. I welcome them in my house, in my living room every day. I'm not threatened by them. My marriage is not threatened by them. They can love each other if they want to. And that gay marriage law was passed because of the technology, the entertainment business. Another example, I was at a CAA meeting for Women in Technology a few years back, and I heard this story that an agent told about Malala, who'd watched Ugly Betty, a TV show where the lead character was an ordinary young woman. Malala found this character inspiring long before she was shot in the head by the Taliban in Pakistan for daring to stand up and advocate for the rights to education for girls and women. Ugly Betty was executive produced by Salma Hayek, a Hispanic woman. Cut to a few years later, Malala got to meet Salma Hayek at CAA, where they're both represented. So this is the superpower of the entertainment business, the power to move, touch and inspire people, and to make change happen. Now, let's talk about the technology industry. If you have any problem, even a problem that you didn't even know you had, there's an app for that. Technology superpower, as opposed to entertainment superpower, technology superpower is the ability to solve problems with the entrepreneurial ethic and ingenuity and innovation. They have philosophies and methodologies to solve for anything. You want a robotic arm that's going to create water on Mars? I recently heard the story of a 10-year-old boy in Texas who got the patent for a technology that notices if a car is empty and there's a young child in the back seat and that child's been left there. And this technology blows cold air on the baby and alerts law enforcement about this. This was invented by a 10-year-old boy in Texas. You want a robot that knows exactly how you want your coffee in the morning and will pour it for you perfectly in the size mug you choose? That's all happening now. So the technology and entertainment industries that are alike in both stature and might are both challenged, are both extremely resourceful and powerful. But they're also crippled by the exact same thing. Challenges in diversity, inclusion, and equality. Challenges in gender bias, racial discrimination, bias against people on how they look, how old they are, how young they are, the size of their bodies, the neurodiversity, who they love, what they worship, and what they hold dear. So if this seems like, oh my God, this is such a challenge to take this on, we have the power to mobilize teams to solve problems. The superpower of the technology industry combined with the ability to tell that story and spread the message by leveraging that superpower of the entertainment industry. We just need to set our aim more effectively. Now, oh my God, this is so hard. How's it going to happen? Yet sending people to the moon and making water on Mars, making you cry at dog food commercials? Come on, let's stop kidding ourselves. We can solve these man-made problems. These problems are so superficial. They are literally skin deep. Now, before you think I'm going to go all we are the world on you, I'm going to ask this very important business question. Nadia, why should we solve the problems of discrimination and bias? What's in it for me as a company, as an industry? What's the value proposition of solving for equality? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do because we want to be nice people. Well, that's not the only lens to look through, examine this problem. The reason to solve these problems is that we are companies that also want to make money. And to make money, even in this age of automation, you do need to have people. There is currently a war for talent in the technology business. It's brutal in Silicon Valley, which is forcing Silicon Valley companies to move to Silicon Beach. It's not just for the sunshine and waves, y'all. Talent in real estate is cheaper here. I know, it's all relative. Technology unemployment is at 2.8%, which is basically zero unemployment, accounting for people moving from job to job. And that's just going to go vertical as technology advances accelerate, because technology really is a mountain with no top and no limits. So there's a huge upside in the fields of cybersecurity, homeland security, Internet of Things, and people as companies really need to start leveraging underutilized resources in our community. Otherwise, you're working at a disadvantage and your competition is going to slaughter you. What do you think 1 billion Chinese and 1 billion Indians are working on? We have to have a sense of urgency in our industries. Now, on the entertainment side, on the content creation side, besides six major studios, we have technology-based companies like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Video, YouTube, Facebook, Snap, and even LinkedIn and Starbucks are getting into the content production business with video. We also have all the startups in Silicon Valley and Silicon Beach and Silicon Alley and Silicon Berlin and Silicon Barcelona, Silicon Tel Aviv that are also gunning for these companies. And then you have the one-person operation, like Michelle over there or PewDiePie video. People putting makeup on in their bathroom getting millions of views. People unboxing beds and getting millions of views. And people playing video games and getting millions of views. So there's huge growth happening in the content creation side. And then you have the content consumption side. In India and China, there are over 1 billion people in each of these countries and 7.4 billion people on the planet. We have the rise of the middle class in those areas. And when these people scrape together enough money, do they buy a car or a house or a washing machine? No, they buy a mobile phone because they want to watch people play video games. So that's why it's a strategic imperative to solve these challenges in diversity, inclusion, and equity, so we will have strong teams that have diverse backgrounds, backstories, and come from different countries and religions and regions, and they represent the different perspectives of the 7.4 billion people on this planet. And when you can do that, you really serve a global market. So getting to solving for equality by 2025, we first need to get to a year from now, which is 2018. So we had over 600 people registered for this. We have maybe 350 people here. So by 2018, a year from now, we will have a conference like this all day with 3,500 people in it. We're going to go 10x bigger. We're going to grow to a point where we can have a soundstage at WB or Universal or Sony or Disney or the LA Convention Center or Dodger Stadium. In the very near future, we'll have a one-day conference or academy with great speakers who inspire right actions, offer boot camps and sponsorship, training on the next set of skills that are needed for us to compete in this global economy. So everyone in this room has the skills to compete, like a Navy SEAL, a diverse workforce that is trained and ready to go. So we want your help and ideas for creating this event. What do you think are the key performance measures for solving for equality by 2025? How are we going to know that we got there? What actions will we have to take to get there? By the way, we know what those actions are. There are many studies and white papers that detail all of this, so it's no mystery. But doing a study serves no purpose unless it results in positive action taken to remediate the problems discovered in the study. We believe it's time to take the problem in our own hands. It's going to take a group of thoughtful, committed individuals who want to change the world, who are determined to move the needle, who not only want to be the change they want to see, but are willing to take the actions that are needed. Because if you want new results, you're going to have to take new actions. So, one, join us in uniting Hollywood and technology and getting involved in solving for equality by 2025. So that's number one. Contact me on LinkedIn and say, Women of Warners, we're in. Women of NBC, we're in. Let me know who the diversity and inclusion is and in your department. And let me know who the context of the black employees at NBC are, the LGBT employees, et cetera. Now, the second thing I'm going to ask you to do is to grow the pipeline by teaching others to fish. We all know the saying, you give a person a fish and you feed them for a day. Teaching fishing and you feed them for a lifetime. So, now that's your job. You can't complain about the pipeline unless you're willing to take actions to grow the pipeline, to make a difference and be a change maker. We have the pipeline right under our noses here in Los Angeles, in our companies, in our schools, and literally on our streets. We have underutilized communities in Los Angeles. We have homeless women who don't want a government handout. They want to learn how to code. Now, I know what you're thinking, Nadia, you don't have my life. I'm so busy. I need more time. The myth of needing more time is a myth that leaves you completely disempowered like a feather in the fickle wind. Because guess what? You're never going to get more time. There's not a 25th hour that you can buy, even if you're the wealthiest person on the planet. Whether you're Gandhi or Beyonce, Martin Luther King, Sheryl Sandberg, Mother Teresa, or Madonna, you're not going to get an extra hour of the day. So time really is the great equalizer. Time has no bias, it doesn't favor, it doesn't discriminate. Time is colorblind. We all have 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day equals up to 720 hours per month, and 4 hours for a month equals 0.006% of your time. So if you give 4 hours a month to growing the pipeline, that's going to make a difference. And I have no problem with the idea of giving a fish because people do need to eat. But even the act of giving a fish can be wrapped in a brief lesson of teaching someone how to fish as well. We've all become experts in multitasking. So if you're willing to adopt a family for the holidays or support Toys for Tots, how about adopting a family at some other point of the year and teaching them something that you know? Maybe it's how to balance a checkbook. Do we still balance checkbooks around here? Or how to play a sport, or how to write a short story. Maybe you can supplement Toys for Tots with Books for Tots, so it becomes more about teaching fishing. So when you leave here today, I urge you to think about something to impact the pipeline. Each of you has something you're passionate about, something you want to contribute. Maybe you want to teach coding. Maybe you want to teach screenwriting. Maybe you want to teach coding to homeless women or screenwriting to homeless women. I can't imagine what stories could be mined out of that conversation. So in summary, here are the calls to action. Join us as we solve for equality in Hollywood and technology by 2025, and grow the pipeline by teaching at least one person how to fish. So we make the world a place where everyone has a voice and no one is left out. I want to thank all the groups that made this happen, and thank Mesa, and thank you, and good night.